Blog Talk Radio. Periscope, which is Twitter,
all of these social media being able to broadcast what we're trying to do. So we go back to 2017. We started with a sports show down in South Florida, and we moved forward where we are now international, being broadcast in 18 countries. So proud to have all of the countries, but what is really dear to me, in the United States and being in the, on the North American continent, we have to the north of us, Canada, there's listeners that's really enjoying us. And then to the south of us is Mexico and listeners there. So we're scratching on the surface. It's things that we're going to make happen. All we're going to do is continue to put our trust in the Lord, and we're going to just allow him to guide us. Let me take this opportunity to share with everybody in regards to the celebration of, and I'm not going to say a homegoing, but a celebration of life, because we should be able to energize from this gentleman. He's a, one of my frat brothers. So proud to have spoke with him. So proud to know that he's from my neck of the woods, which is the boy from Troy, but besides that, not so much as mine, but is a distant cousin of my family. So glad to have him as he's a part of us, as he's transitioned on last Friday, a place that we all want to be and go. None other than the honorable doctor, brother, my frat brother, John Robert Lewis, a civil rights icon, an icon for everybody. His thing that we will remember, good trouble. And we have to fight for good trouble through these times of COVID-19, through social unrest. As we get ready to lay him to rest, as we get ready to prepare him for the Omega chapter, in regards to Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, that's the highest chapter, and that is the chapter, the last chapter that we all get an opportunity to go into on Wednesday night, and then the service is on Thursday, Ebenezer Baptist, famous Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. To his family, our condolences from this network, from the Smith Way Production, to the family of John Robert Lewis, my fraternity brother, proud member for over 40-some years with Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, the transition. We say, rest in heaven, my brother. Let's move forth with our program tonight. I'm so excited to have this guest because he's a special individual, because we was connected by one of our watchers and listeners. Out of, and had to give her a shout out because she made it possible. She's out of the state of California, Berkeley, California. She had a birthday recently on the 23rd. And she said, you need to get together with this young man. I said, I'm looking forward to Denise Stephanie, Behind the Mask Ministry out of Berkeley, California. Thank you, Denise. I see you're on the line. Thank you so much. But making sure we hook up, making sure we network. Our guest is going to talk about our title, which is Strategies for Building a Healthy Relationship and Marriage. And that's what it's all about. This is a relationship show. Our guest is Pastor Eddie Pratt. He's married and a proud father of one son and eight daughters. I know the joy of that, you know. Fathers love those daughters, and daughters love their father. So he have eight of them. and I know, because the ones I have, you know, they love daddy some death, daddy love them some death. He's a licensed pastor, acquired a graduate degree, or his studies from Dallas Theological Seminar, where he pursued a master's degree in Christian leadership. He has his undergraduate degree from the historical Black College and University. I had to put the HBCU on there. Morehouse out of Atlanta, Georgia. We're so proud to know he's a graduate of a historical black college and university. He also attained a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration from Stratters University. Pastor Eddie is a nationwide relationship coach and strategist. He's also sought by many as a public speaker in the arena of premarital and marital relationship, intentional dating, life after divorce, and conflict resolution. He's a prevention intervention specialist. And one of the things I'll say, he thrives to educate, encourage, and empower people to have a healthy relationship. And finally, he has written, directed, performed over 250 skits to illustrate the lasting impact of personal and community transformation. Without further ado, we introduce to some and present to others Pastor Eddie Pratt, our special guest of the Dr. Lowe Show. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for that introduction, and I'm so honored and happy to be a part of your show tonight.
And we're so glad to have you and for you to take time to just come on and give us an hour of your knowledge, your persona about yourself. We look forward to having that because we have this show and we try to talk about relationship strategies, relationship thoughts, relationship attitudes, all of those things in relate, but we specifically always talk about healthy relationship. And that's what we're talking about, building a healthy relationship. And we want Pastor Pratt to offer some awesome information. I gave his bio. If he wants to just want to touch on something I may have missed, you have that opportunity. And I want to let Pastor Pratt know, that we always, when we allow individuals to come on, we don't spend time trying to interview. We try to spend time enjoying you. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to enjoy you, and you take it as you see fit. When you need to catch a breath, and Doc will jump in there, and he'll just relieve you just for long enough to let you share your thoughts. But we want you to start off just sharing some things. Maybe I call myself just trying to pull out some of the things out the bio. If anything else you want to add to that, you can. Then we can move to what exactly is your role as a relationship coach and strategist.
Okay. So basically, as a relationship coach and strategist, as well as my role as a pastor, what I do is I have a ministry and also a business of coaching couples that are either in premarital status or in marriage that may be having marital problems, conflict resolution, or in a situation where they are trying to find out how they can prepare for getting into a relationship, even if they're not in one. And so in my business, what I do is I take people through, I created a personal assessment that I walk people through to identify three things, which I believe is very important when you are about to enter or before you even get into a relationship. I have developed a personal assessment that identifies who you are, what your principles are, and what your purpose is. And once you are in tune with those three things, it is important that whenever you engage in a relationship with someone that they don't impose on those three things. And so I've created a series of questions for a single person to answer those questions, as well as married people, because sometimes people get married and actually don't have a concrete or defined knowledge of who they are. They just got married. They were following an emotion. They got involved, and they've lost themselves in the marriage. And so I help people work back to that individual definition of themselves and how they can collectively walk together in that marriage. And the interesting thing about that cycle that I just told you is that that cycle is something that continues over the span of a relationship or even over the span of a person individually as a single person, because we're always evolving. So that means we're always redefining, reinventing, but also adjusting to different life seasons and life cycles so that we are still compatible to be in a relationship with someone. And so that means that there's communication and there's a process of maintaining a healthy relationship with someone.
That's awesome. I'll tell you, that's really some strong points that's been shared at this time. I'll just to start it off, you know, it's enough to say, you know, the show is over with, because he has brought a couple things that we have to really, truly, truly understand. And personal assessment, and I just want to kind of talk a little bit about that, because that's one of the things I always say on my show, Pastor, that, you know, I assess myself every day. People always ask me how or why you do that, because I must look at who I am, have a concrete, like you say, definition of yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of times in a relationship, even in a marriage, we lose sight of that. We lose
That's
sight
right.
of who we are. And you stated it from the start. When you do a personal assessment, you assess yourself to see who you are. You may
right.
need, and then
right.
you look at solutions to addressing where you're not at the level you need to be. You mentioned
right.
about redefining yourself. See, people don't realize you have to redefine yourself.
Yeah.
Because when we go into a relationship, we all have our own personal makeup. We have our personal experience. And when we have our personal experience, you know, it might be somebody I meet from the other part of this country. We have things that we may have down in the South or the Southeast that we may look that help define us. And individuals who may be in the Southwest or either up on the Pacific or the Far West may see a difference. What you
Right.
have to do in a relationship, make sure you're able to have a concrete definition of yourself, as Pastor
Right.
Pratt said. That's number one. And if it's to the point where you know you're not able to put a handle on who you are, you may have to redefine exactly what that concrete definition is. You have
that's
to, because
right.
nobody else can do it for you. No one else can
that's
do it
right.
for you. And that's what we're talking about right there. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. And just press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. I identify your last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then actually give you a location or name and offer your expertise. We're talking about strategies for building a healthy relationship and a marriage. That's one of the things we got to realize. You don't lose yourself when you go into a marriage. It's one thing we had to remember. And Pastor Pratt can kind of share some of those thoughts, because he's going to work through the format tonight. He's going to share those things, but you don't lose yourself. Hopefully you have an understanding that you may have to redefine yourself, reinvent yourself. You had to do things like that. Exactly what he said. Pastor Pratt, anything else you want to add in regards to what we're looking at more or less when you're coaching the individual? You want to share some awesome things right here. You're coaching the individual, offering them strategies about a relationship. Then we want to kind of put it in the marriage phase too. We want to put that in there too. We would like for you to share your thoughts on that.
Okay. So in this personal assessment that I've created, in the sessions that I do, it is in defining who you are, there are a series of questions that come in that are basically put to define what does personal peace look like to you. I am a firm believer that you cannot have a healthy relationship with someone else if you are having a toxic relationship with yourself.
Woo!
And so in the process of that, usually when we are in relationships and even in the dating process and even in the early stages of marriage, because I'm currently writing a book on this very thing about the strategies of how to have a healthy relationship and maintain it, because everybody's not built for marriage. And that's one thing that I like to identify in the process of two people coming together, is that one may be looking for one thing and the other's looking for another, and we're not being honest about where we're going.
So
that is very important. But this whole thing about identifying yourself leads you to a point where you are in touch. It's two things that you've really got to be, or actually three things that I believe that a person has to be in touch with. This is either a single or a married person. That is, what are your strengths? And being real clear and real honest about what your weaknesses are. And number three, what your kryptonite is.
Oh, all right, then.
What is it that pulls you that you don't talk about? What is it deep down inside of you? And see, if you're not in touch with your weaknesses, you can fall prey to those things. And then, and the very thing, and it doesn't, and the other thing too, we have to deal with unresolved issues. So many people, and couples that I deal with, and even individuals, they bring so many unresolved issues into the relationship or into the marriage. And then they have false expectations that the person that they married or the person that they got in a relationship is supposed to fix those unresolved issues. And that's not the responsibility of that other person. Now, here's what I do believe. There's some baggage that is supposed to be unpacked individually, and then there's some baggage that will be unpacked together.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some things that once you come together, there'll be things that you will unpack together collectively in the marriage, in the relationship. But there's some things that you've got to address before you bring all of that onto another person. Because what happens is that that person gets overwhelmed with the things that you haven't resolved.
Exactly. And Pastor, I just, touch back at something you just said, and I think it's been missing when we're talking about relationships and even in marriage. When we talk about defining ourselves, we have to really look at ourselves and see, are we in a toxic relationship with yourself?
That's right.
You know, I just heard him and I wrote it down, and I'm saying some of us are in a toxic relationship with ourselves.
That's
and
correct.
That's why we cannot unpack. Remember, he said unpack certain things when we get into a relationship or in a marriage. We call it baggage. It said never try to bring baggage into a new situation. That baggage that's been weighing you down has been so toxic. And I always say another thing I'm going to add, and I'm going to let him continue to share his thoughts on this, but I always talk about how people pick up bad skills in relationships.
Yeah,
and they carry
those
bad skills over to the next relationship. And somehow it's kind of hard to get them to understand that. And it is not really, I tell you, and Pastor agree with me or not, it's not your job to try to unpack that for them.
That's correct.
They have to unpack it themselves. And if they're not capable of doing it, that's why I always say, if you're not ready to be in a relationship, and we had and I'm going to kind of jump to something on one of the other shows we had last week. One of the co-hosts stated that, you know, the best relationship is a relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what the pastor is saying. If you're in a toxic relationship with yourself, it is impossible to be in a healthy relationship with somebody else.
That is correct.
And
that
we
is correct.
Keep in mind. And Pastor, let me just kind of see your thoughts on this right here. We talk about it on this show all the time, as well as the Thursday night show, we talk about healthy relationship traits or characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us fail it when we're failing in those particular areas. First of all, we always say self-love. It's hard
yeah.
to love anybody else if we can't love ourselves.
Yeah.
The second one is honesty. If you're
yeah.
not honest with yourself, it's no way impossible you can stand in front of somebody you say you love or you want to be with and be honest with, because you're not honest with yourself. You may have some
yeah.
issues that you need to address, and you're
That's
not
right.
being honest with yourself. The third one, and you can share your thoughts. I just want to kind of what we normally talk about on this show and my other show. The third one is trust.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You know, trust is a big thing. And the fourth one is communication.
That is correct.
That is the problem that we're failing so at in relationship and even marriage is communication.
That is correct.
We cannot communicate with one another. And when you can't communicate with that person and don't have a means of redefining or reinventing yourself, looking at the possibility of how I can do it or coming up with solutions, that's not going to be successful. And the next
that
one,
is
then Steve, and you can share your thoughts on them or go whatever direction you want to go. The last one is connection. We
yeah.
believe those are traits that are so important that you must be able to have a clear understanding, have clarity on. If you don't have it, meaning in a relationship or for yourself, you're going to have a lot of problems identifying concrete things to make a relationship better. And you're
yeah.
going to eventually lead yourself to being in a toxic relationship with yourself.
That is correct. All right, so just to piggyback on what you're saying, what I have found in my sessions with people that I have coached and couples that I have coached and strategized with, one of the huge things, mentioning what you just piggybacking what you just mentioned, is actually the name of Sister Denise's ministry, which is Many People Live Behind the Mask. They present almost, I like to coin it like this. They present the salesperson. They make a great presentation, but on the
all
back
right.
end, when the real person starts showing up, all you get is a customer service agent. You don't get the initial thing. And what happens is that the person that gets blindsided by the change of behavior or the mask that they showed, that the mask that they showed you, they're not living in a place of authenticity. So therefore, you're not even getting the real person. So that area of a lack of communication can come from fear. It can come from just hurt and wounds from a previous relationship that were not resolved. And another thing too, and I find this heavier, more so in the African American and Latino couples that I deal with, it is very difficult a lot of times for them to go to a counselor to get to
Uh-oh.
Understand who they really are.
Uh-oh.
And for some reason, Uh-oh. we have really, really done a disservice to our community, saying that it is a sign of weakness to go to
yes.
a counselor. And here's what's interesting to me, that people won't invest in going to a counseling session, but they'll invest in an affair. That is totally backwards.
Pastor, come on.
Now you'll go sit down and talk to someone that is trying to dismantle your relationship, but you won't
yeah.
invest any time in talking to someone that's trying to strengthen it.
Exactly.
And so we walk around in a bad mindset, a damaged mindset with unresolved issues that lead to bigger unresolved issues, which you lead a trail of dead bodies, literally. That's what you're leading.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's one bad relationship after another, after another, or another, and now we don't look at the common denominator in all of those bad relationships. All of those other folks were different, but you are the common denominator in those bad relationships. At some point, you have to stop and say, "What is my contribution to these failed relationships? Is it that I'm picking the wrong people? Is it that I don't love myself enough to have certain boundaries and principles that I'm going to stand by? And it could be a host of many things, but all of that, I am able to pull that out in this personal assessment. And if it's a couple, I'm able to pull that out on a couple's assessment.
And that's awesome what you said, Pastor. And the calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. When you press 1, the question mark will pop up, and I'll get you by calling out the last four digits of your cell or telephone. I had several people to call, and all of a sudden, you know, they may have not heard the direction, but I want to repeat them. And they stepped off the line. They'll be back. I mean, they're listening, whether it's by web link or whatever it may be. But Denise had a question that she posted up on Facebook. Pastor, and I want to share that question with you. And we will go back to what you, because a lot you just shared that we need to unpack. And we're going to unpack it because it's something we talk about all the time on this show. But she said, do you believe you can trust from a place of brokenness? Do you believe
you trust
a person
from a place
can trust
of brokenness?
Brokenness, yes. Can a person trust another individual when you're in a place of brokenness? And I'm trying to, you know, she typed it in, and I'm trying to make sure I get it for you right.
Okay. All right, so in a place of brokenness, I think that it is very difficult to trust is because you are still, that wound is still cut open. And so therefore you're not, it goes back to the whole thing about the, if you are broken, let's even look at the definition of that. If you are broken, which it means that you're not healed, which means you're in a position where we have to start with a relationship with yourself first. And I believe that relationship with you and God is first. Let's do some healing so that enables you to trust. Because if you're in a broken place, all you're doing usually at some point, you're just waiting for, you're waiting for the person to do something wrong so you can say, aha, there you go. I can't trust you because you did such and such. So what it does is it puts the other person, they're guilty until proven innocent.
Yes, yes, and Denise is saying yes, yes, yes all over Facebook. So you are hit it right on the spot. And that's something we always talk about as we share thoughts about in regards to relationships and successful and healthy relationships. You know, if you are hurting yourself, and that old saying about hurt people, most time hurt other people.
That is correct.
And they do it because they hadn't addressed what's going on within them. And if you're broken, if in a previous relationship of marriage, that person was not honest, it was not trustworthy, he cheated, because that's always come up, or she cheated, then you're hurt. And when
right.
we are hurt, people have to realize, we try to find a place we call it a safe place. And I said
right.
safe place, like you said, I'm going to stay at my home. But we try to find a safe, comfortable place within our inner circle from
yeah.
within. And we
That's
tend
right.
to find a way that we can protect our heart. You know, we talk about love a lot on this show as well on the other show. You know, love comes from the internal part of you. It comes
That's
from
right.
your heart and your soul. And when it's been broken, when it's been damaged, it is hard to allow yourself, when we get to that phase when we talk about building walls. People have walls and they're in their mind, they're in their internal part. It's hard to break those walls because they've been hurt who are not authentic. The pastor
right.
said something that was so important, and I'm really enjoying this moment. Because we're connected, Pastor. I'm telling you, we're connected.
Yes, we are.
when you're around people that we always call been in toxic relationships,
mm-hmm.
and they've been around somebody, all they did was put them down. All you know, one of the most important things in a relationship, I always say, is respect.
Yeah.
To me, that's number one. If I cannot respect you, most likely I'm not respecting myself, first of all.
That's correct.
Because I will allow other people to disrespect me, and I just try to take that out on you. But you said something about that. You said something about people that keep score. We always talk about this on our shows. You got people that been in toxic relationship who had to battle. See, y'all got people got to understand. It's a fight. It's a fight when you're in a relationship that's toxic. Besides being in a toxic relationship with yourself, you got to be in a toxic relationship with somebody else, and then you have
that
person keeping score. You know, it's not a game. A relationship is not a game. Love is not a game. I'm not trying to one-up you. You know, we talk about people being in a relationship that are authentic. And a lot of times, and we call it real, true love, and being in a relationship that, but every time, one time, you might, and we're going to get back to what some things you were sharing. I want to make sure we talk about that. But when you be with somebody, you do all the best, the goodest thing, the good things, you right, and you make one mistake. First thing, come out, Pastor. I told you.
Yep.
I told you. And
told
I'm going to hold that against you. And and some things you should be held, all things you should be held accountable. Something in particular, but you can either forgive me or you don't forgive me. We know you're not going to forget, because when things happen, I always tell people in life, this muscle we have called a brain have a memory bank that store things. And if it's traumatic, a lot of time it's a time stamp on your brain.
That's correct.
And people don't realize that. That's why it's so easy for you when you encounter something similar to that, you quickly do what that famous thing is, fight or flight.
That's right.
In a relationship, you either fight or you flight. And a lot of times we're caught up in situations like that. Pastor, I want to kind of touch on one more thing in what you said, because it's so good to hear you say that. You think it's two things you said. And one of the things about meeting people who, I'm going to say, send a representative.
Mm-hmm.
When you first meet them, we always say on this show, they send a representative, and be careful in a relationship how much you unpack with them. Because you know what? If you tell them in the last relationship he cheated on me, or in the last relationship he disrespected me, I'm just using some things. That's not exactly. He's going to try to make sure he polish herself up, so she'll stay on that good side. But she's not being authentic.
Yes.
She's not being true. He's not being true. He's doing what makes you comfortable because
That's
of
right.
the previous relationships and the previous past relationships you had. And we
right.
always say be wary in those tiers of a relationship. And one
correct.
Thing I want us to make sure we understand is, in relationships, and we talk about it all, we got tears that we have to take very serious. And those tears is that when I meet you, like a young lady said one time, a person, I met him, but he's just an associate. That's why when we meet somebody, how you doing, speak to them, might be in a workshop with them, and you know you met them, your associate. The next step is getting acquainted. We're going to have to follow these steps, these tiers, like we're supposed to now. When I meet you, and if I want to get you to know you more, I'm going to move to acquaintance. That means I want to have a way to communicate with you. I want to be able to move beyond that. Then the next is friendship. You know, friendship is a relationship stage now. Do not get confused. That is not. Because once I start finding out more, I feel comfortable enough to want to go places with you, feeling comfortable enough to say you are, and I can call on you and share things that I normally would share with my family and my friends. And that next step is, in that tier is romantic. I said on previous shows, some people go straight from associate to romantic. I was watching one of these what's that show? With DNA when they do it. I ain't talking about Maury. It's another one. Come on, with a young African American female judge, and you hear people come on there and say, "Well, it was a one night stand," and now you in court trying to decide, is that your baby?
Right.
So you went from associate to romantic. That's the last tier I have. But I'm saying to romantic because you have to do something to get yourself excited enough to be intimate. So you went from associate to romantic. And you can stand up in front of people and feel comfortable. And that's what we're misguided in our in our communities, in our culture, in our survival, environment. We are misguided. You don't go from associate straight to the bathroom wall. Because I hear this, and I'm like, what is wrong with these young people or these individuals who standing before this judge talking to determine whether that's their child? Because when you go and you go from associate to romantic, and you do concede a child, you are attached to each other for the rest of your life.
That is correct.
That's what I try to share with young men, the mentees I work with. I try to share with them. It's a good feeling that in the results, that could be many other results, but if a child is conceived, you're going to be attached to that person for the rest of your life. Not just for the 18. See, that's one of the things we got to get out our young individuals or our males tied there with the female as the custodial parent. Our males figure when they turn 18 up to you attach that person for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the last and not the last step, but I'm going to say the next tier I consider to be very important is that I went through all these stages. Now I want to look for a life partner, somebody I want to be with the rest of my life. But I don't go straight from, I don't never go straight from associate to life partner.
That's right.
Because I have to get to know you. You have to get to know me. So those are that's some of the things. And Pastor, you can share your thoughts on that, and I hope you do. Regarding not so much with that, but before we do, is one more thing I want you touched on. I think it's so important, and I think we have to continue to share this within our culture. It is not bad to get counseling outside of what you would say your friend or your community.
That's correct.
You have to get some outside help. And that's one of the things I'm pressing, because even things I've encountered that required me to get counseling. And I was in a relationship with someone, and I was going to counseling, wanted to get some counseling to kind of understand. They said, well, it shouldn't take you but one time. That's the misconception. They think if you go one or two times and you feel good, it's just like a medicine. You know, the doctor gives you a prescription for 30 days, but you feel good out of 15, you stop taking medicine. Whatever you have, it ain't going nowhere. So it's going to take some time. But I want to just kind of touch and bring it, because you shared thoughts on that, and our listeners they're typing in, they're hitting it, they're sharing things here on Facebook that they said yes and okay, and that's awesome to see. Now, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you in and be a part of this chat. I just ask you for your name or location, and then also your expertise. All right, Pastor Pratt, we said several things here. I want to count to not move off where we are, but kind of look at what we're dealing with today in regards to where our world is and where our country is in regards to COVID-19.
Yeah.
How feel like? How do you feel like COVID-19 or how is COVID-19 impacting healthy relationships and marriages?
Okay, so here's how I look at that, how COVID-19 affects relationships. COVID-19 is a crisis. One thing about a crisis is that usually it blindsides us. Crisis exposes three things. Here's what crisis exposes. It exposes the best in people. It exposes the worst in people. And it exposes the division in people.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, let's dissect that. The best in people. When the crisis first hit in relationships and in the country and everything that's going on, there was this huge movement about we're all in this together, right?
Right.
But then in some of that togetherness, it required being around each other more than usual. It required nowhere to go because you had to communicate because you were in a shelter-in-place type of environment. Within a marriage, if it is not healthy, even if it's healthy, you begin to discover things because now we're in a crisis. That's a different mindset that if there's not a firm foundation within yourself or a firm foundation within the relationship, it leads to somebody departing or both of them departing the relationship. They will shut down. Crisis is actually the test of the strength of the foundation of your relationship.
Oh,
I think
man.
That it is a challenge for all of us to be faced with. I can't go out like I wanted to. If I get angry, I can't just go get together with my buddies or my girlfriends or even a counselor in some cases. Now, I do my sessions either by Zoom or either by phone because, I said, I counsel couples all over the country. So here's what I'm saying. I give them an outlet so that they can get it out, and then I let them vent and get it out, and then I take them through some strategies that bring them back to the place of togetherness and strengthen them as a result of the crisis. I've seen some couples just fight and argue because the crisis has brought division, which is the worst part of people, that as soon as something goes bad, they feel like the way to handle it is to divide, to leave each other. That's where coming together is most important. So let me give you, and then the division. You're seeing racism. You're seeing all of these. And what has really been amazing to me is the way I've seen churches going back and forth, arguing with each other on social media. Which is also a bad look for marriages, is because remember the relationship, remember Christ's relationship, the marriage is a symbol of Christ's relationship to the church. That is a husband's job. The husband is to love his wife the way Christ loved the church.
Exactly.
And the wife is called to respect her husband. And sometimes when we look at those things, we don't understand that right at the foundation of the breakup or growing apart, I hear a lot of couples say, well, we just grew apart. Tips on something that you mentioned early. You can't grow. Growing apart is a transition. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. So
yes,
in the process of a cycle change, there needs to be communication within the transition. And this crisis brings a transition to all of us where we are not used to what we are experiencing. So the communication has to rise to a whole different level that didn't exist before, so that you continue to build on the strength of the foundation, or you put a foundation in place that may not have been in place before.
That's what you're telling, the building blocks. We're talking about
the building blocks.
Yeah.
So
Go ahead on.
I wanted to share one thing that I do, a strategy that I use when I have couples. I usually collect model cars. So I always go, when I meet with a couple, I bring like a 57 T. I have a couple of 57, 55 T-Birds and other cars that I collect as model cars, not actual cars, but model cars. So I'll bring the two-seater with me. And I say to the couple, one of the things that what damages things is when emotions are behind the wheel of the car. When the emotions are driving, emotions lock the other lock the passenger door so reality can't get in. They would rather operate from a place of emotions, either being anger or just this lovey-lovey honeymoon type thing, and it's always preventing reality from getting in the car. See, what happens is that when reality gets into the car, it moves into the driver's seat. But the beautiful thing about reality is that it unlocks the door for emotions to come in too, but it never gives up the driver's seat. So
yes,
the
sir.
Importance of that is that reality will mix in and bring in the emotions, but reality stays constant where emotions go up and down. And if up and down is driving the vehicle, you are going to hit some tribulations. As the Bible said, you're going to go through trouble. And if emotions are driving the vehicle, you're going off the cliff eventually.
Yes, sir.
That is not a stable place. That is not a stable place to guide the relationship. And so crisis like COVID is playing on the emotions of the marriage, the people in the marriage. And it requires reality, which is diving into God's word and not just reading it, but studying it and living it. You can read scripture, but it's something different when you hit crisis. Now it's got to get in you. There's an application that has to be done, because now it's bigger than just reading it and being able to quote it or be able to tell other people what they need to do. We're in a position now where we got to live what we're preaching.
Exactly. And I'm glad you hit that point. There's a couple of things I just want to just touch back on, and I want you to talk with me as we look at it, Pastor, in regards to you saying something about what people really don't understand. When we're going through crisis, which become emotionally, emotions are play an important part. You said something about emotions behind the wheel of a car. And basically, I'm hearing you say that sometimes our emotions be the one driving where we're going.
That's right.
How we get there.
That's
right. Too many times, it's many individuals that don't want to accept it and understand that emotion is driving this thing.
That's
driving
right.
the relationship, driving the marriage. And if we want to continue to head down that dark road where there might be a point of no return, then we will lock the door. You know, we'll lock the door quick and keep anything else from coming in.
That's correct.
And to the point that, you know, eventually reality, the emotion become reality.
That's right.
So when reality get behind the wheel, you think you have total control of everything. And I'm just going to look at it a little different. When you said, you know, by unlock the door to allow this what we've been keeping out to come in, because you know why? We think we now can control it. And that's the part that concerns me in a relationship, because, you know, emotions been driving behind the wheel, don't really want to get behind the wheel. So it turns whatever you're dealing with into reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when the reality is in control, then reality don't mind opening the door to let other aspects get in. However, you still want to be in control.
Right. So
go ahead on. Yes.
Let me give you the basis of what I'm talking about, reality. Here's what reality is, in the sense. We in the description that you just described, which was an excellent illustration, we make emotions reality when it's really not reality.
Yes.
See, reality is actually, what does the Word of God say about marriage? What does your personal, who are you? What are your principles? And what is your purpose? that those things are your realities. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What is your kryptonite? Those things are your reality. When you are honest, those are the things that are your reality. Now, when somebody, when emotions come in, so I share this often. There is a acronym that Charles Stanley's grandfather uses called HALT. Don't get too hungry. Don't get too angry. Don't get too lonely. Don't get too tired. And in addition to that, any two of those characteristics, if they're happening at the same time, it will cause you, it may cause you, if you're not grounded spiritually, may cause you to do some uncharacteristic behavior that you ordinarily wouldn't do. So when you lose sight of reality, I am saying your emotions begin to come off like they are reality when they're really emotions driving everything. And emotions don't have, they don't have a sense of a foundational truth that will keep you grounded where you don't get led by just how you're feeling. You know, love is not about feeling. Love is an action.
Come on now.
So let me give you an example. Every Saturday, every single Saturday, not every other Saturday, every single Saturday, unless we have something planned differently, I fix breakfast for my wife in bed. I feed my wife breakfast in bed every Saturday. Now, one weekend, we got in an argument on Friday, and we didn't really get to a point where we had resolved it that night. When I woke up on Saturday morning, I still fixed her breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter that I felt some kind of way. That's what I committed to.
Yes,
so
sir.
The reality is the commitment. The reality is what I committed to. Not my feelings. Also, I'm mad at you, so now I'm not going to fix you breakfast. I'm not going to serve you breakfast in bed because I'm mad at you. Now, when I feel better, then I will go back to doing what I committed to do. There's a guy named George Zaluki. I love his definition of commitment. He said commitment is continuing to do the thing that you said you would do long after the mood you said it in is gone.
Yes, sir.
You keep doing regardless of your feelings. In Matthew 7:24, it talks about anyone who hears my commands and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. If you look at that scripture real close, it says nothing about feelings. It says, hear my commands and do it.
Yes, sir.
So in the commitment of marriage, you commit and you stay together and you work through it. The vows always say better or worse.
Yes, sir.
So that's what I'm talking about, reality. That's the definition of reality. The commitment itself, the foundation of commitment is the reality. And emotions, you will see something that you know is a deal breaker, but because that person is cute or because they got money, or because they look this way, or they've got all of these different things that appeal to you emotionally that don't have any foundation. What if the person lost their job? What if the person gained weight?
Yeah.
All of these different things. It's too many people, a lot of times, they're so busy dating to get married. I made a point that when I healed from some things that I've been through, I got married to date. It's different. I got married to date. I didn't date to marry. The dating process was to create the marriage, but it was to intensify the dating after we got married. So the process is keeping reality behind the driver's seat, and that is the things and the commitments and the commandments that God gives for marriage. And it doesn't fluctuate back and forth based on my feelings.
Wow. You know what, Pastor, you said quite a few things here, and I just want to kind of let me unpack a few things here. And when we're talking about reality, and I want everybody to make sure, you know, they're listening. And the Pastor said it's all about principle and purpose.
That's right.
One of the things, like, life is reality. In what you're doing within life, you must have a purpose because it's reality.
That's right.
And you live on principles and you act on principles.
That's right.
He has said it. I'm just tying it in. That's what reality is all about. You know, just like he said, the strength. You look at your strength. That's why I said when you're assessing yourself, you look at your strength, your weakness, and your kryptonite.
That's right.
You got to see what brings you down. And anybody that knows about a Superman, know he could do anything until he to an area with kryptonite.
That's right.
But he knew that. He stayed away from it as much as possible, but he ran into somebody who knew that his kryptonite would be what they would bring to him wherever he was. That's
there you
what
go.
We have to realize.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm going to use when we say certain our actions. If anger is our kryptonite,
yes.
Once people realize that,
they will
do any and everything to have you angry. You know, I watch
this show
a lot, Pastor, and I watch a lot of television. Since we've been in COVID-19, there's been a lot of television being watched by me because I try to stay in as much as I can because it says stay home and you're true enough you can stay alive. But
right,
you know, this show is called Snap. You got so angry with somebody new. That was your kryptonite. You forgot about principle. We forgot about as our God as a Christian, die shall not kill.
However,
you forgot about that.
That's right.
Because someone recognized your kryptonite. What we're asking, and I think Pastor will agree along with, you need to recognize your kryptonite. Every individual to recognize their kryptonite. Once you recognize what your kryptonite is, along with your strength and your weakness, your relationship can be very successful.
That's exactly where I'm going.
You won't have to worry about a whole lot of things. He shared something he's doing, and I always said we have to create in our marriages and our relationship something that we can pin and say, this is ours, like what he's sharing. And many other times I've been sharing on my shows about people, when you're in a relationship and you're married, won't you set early in the morning to get up at about 6 o'clock, maybe you get a cup of coffee or something, and sit at the table and just, like they used to do a long time, read the paper, even though we can do it on our phones now. That's a time that you all are spending together. That will be a strength for your relationship.
Yeah.
That, you know, the weakness comes when you decide no longer lose your foundation, what you're grounded on. That's when you kind of lose out. And we don't want to be able to lose out. We want to build a stronger and a healthy relationship and marriage. We have to be able to assess ourselves to understand what is our strength, what is our weakness, and what is our kryptonite.
Yeah, that's right.
Call in now to 347-857-4192. We're going to go a little bit beyond the time tonight because I'm enjoying this conversation because this one it's good for me, and I know it's excellent for you. And you press 1, and I'll make sure we get you on the line and let you share your thoughts in regards to what we're talking about in regards to strategies on a healthy relationship and marriage. Pastor, let's kind of look at, you said something that I just want us to touch on just a second, if you would touch on it. Love is not a feeling.
That's correct.
I always talk about on my show, love is not a feeling. Love don't make, love ain't the one you look, oh, she looks good, I feel like I love you, I like what I see, I'm getting excited. You know, that's a feeling. Love, I always say, is a state of mind.
That's right.
If you don't have a true state of mind about love and coming from your heart and your soul, the feeling just don't quite work. Because that feeling is going to last as long as that person you if you saw that out of the external part and you excited about the external part, it's just like grab it. What's up gonna come down. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter what part. As long as you live, things gonna change. So don't let love be a feeling. Let love be a state of mind.
Right.
Let it come from the heart and the soul. And
yeah.
if you can't do that, you're not gonna be successful in any relationship, and you're not gonna be successful in marriage. Marriage and relationship is all about foundation. You have to develop a foundation with that person. And it can't be based on your feelings. Oh, you
That's
look
right.
good when you were, when I met you, good, you look so good. You was, you know, but like today, we can't even go about that external part because, you know, you got so many things going on. They being catfish
right.
in all forms. You got people that mm-hmm. can put all the nails, they can put all the hair, they can put on the beauty, what they call glamorous look. But the ideal is if you're not coming internal with that person, the outer appearance is going to change. It may not
That's
change
right.
when you first meet them, but over a period of time, it's going to change. Think about when they talk about makeup to make women look beautiful. They say you had to put on a foundation for that makeup to hold up. Do that with ourselves. So we had to do that. We have to have a strong foundation. We have to have a clear understanding of what love is and what love means to me. We have to have a
That's
clear
correct.
Understanding of strength, the weakness, and our kryptonite. That's what
yeah.
we have to be very successful in life in regard to relationships. And that's what it's all about. And we have to address it and make sure. This is a real relationship talk show, and we appreciate everybody joining us. But we're going to spend a couple of minutes talking with Pastor, even though, you know, we over that normal time. But I always set aside time to go over because when you get excited, I want to continue to keep talking. I do that, Pastor. That's me. I talk a lot. So I'm
all right.
good on that. All right. Let's look at premarital and marital relationship. Some people don't really have an understanding about that, and I want you to kind of unpack some things in regards to that and see can we share something with our individual about premarital and marital relationship.
Okay. So there is a process that I take, going back to what we mentioned at the top of the conversation, a process that I take couples through before marriage. That is, I carry them through their individually. I take both people through a personal assessment, which is something that I created that blends into a couples assessment. Now, this couples assessment is something that is incredible because what it does, it is something, it has an algorithm where it creates, it spits out graphs and charts of compatibility, strengths and weaknesses.
Okay.
So it will show, it's unlike anything I've ever seen before. And so when I got certified in this process, it gives me a picture of the couple on paper, what their strengths and weaknesses are, how they handle conflict resolution, how they look at financial issues, how they look at where they are compatibility and spirituality. And it doesn't necessarily mean that this is not about cloning. It actually shows how you can use the strengths and weaknesses, or if we're all the way weak or we're all the way strong. What it does is it gives an illustration for me as well as the couple, an idea of what they look like together. And so from that, I can give them strategies how to have a healthy relationship, not only to have one, but to maintain a healthy relationship, a healthy marriage. So in the premarital process, it is for them to it is the reality. Because
yes.
often what happens, I usually spend 2 hours with the fiance, and I spend
mm-hmm.
2 hours with the man, so that I get to know who they are, and it is an open conversation individually with them. Then when the results come back from the couples assessment, it shows the reality of who those people are individually as well as collectively. And so at that point is where I begin to guide them, and here's some areas of strength that you all have. Here's some area of weakness that they may have. Then it also shows stressors individually. And what percentage are they living in stress, and what percentage are they living in a place of peace? And so when I have all of these graphs in front of me, along with that personal assessment, it gives me clear focus on how to guide them, how to coach them, how to bring about a peaceful and a healthy relationship in the midst of conflict. And it also shows what their communication style is. Do they avoid problems, or do they talk to it? Is there one? If there's a, my wife and I always talk about this, who's the walker and the talker? There's some people that when they get angry, they need an hour, they need 30 minutes to walk away from the situation and come back. The other people, they want to handle it. As soon as the conflict hits, look, we need to talk about this now and get it done. So what is it? What are their communication styles? I also walk them through the five love languages and get all of these things. We unpack all of these things. So that process, real quick, I put the reality behind the wheel of the car, because when they come to me, they're usually either arguing and ready to fight each other, or either they're in so much lovey-dovey that, you know, we just love each other so much. We finish each other's sentences and all that kind of stuff. That's not the foundation of a marriage. So I quickly put reality in the driver's seat, and those two assessments do that. They expose the reality of who they are, and it gives them the tools to walk into marriage with a strategy to be able to not only start with a healthy marriage, but to maintain it.
That's awesome right there. That's awesome. I'll tell you now, and just having an assessment and having an opportunity to walk into a marriage and kind of see some of the things that makes you compatible. Pastor said compatibility, and compatibility is not people caught up in, you know, what kind of, we got the same kind of job, we got the same kind of car. That's a materialistic wealth. That's what that is. We're not talking about that. We're talking about making sure you understand that if you're going to move toward from a premarital to a marital relationship, you have to sit down and talk. Like I said, the reason we're coming for counseling or right before we're talking about getting married here, because we want to see, can we unpack a few things before we go there that'll give us a chance to set a foundation to move forward. I always say foundation will have to come from. Some people say, well, I've been in a family, I've never seen love. I don't know what love is. I said, first of all, you assess yourself, and how do you assess yourself as being love and having self-love? And then when love is shown to you, that's when your foundation begins. And that's the same thing I would say when you go to couple counseling, or you go to the point where you are able to assess yourself, couple assessment. I like that better than counseling. Assessment. See exactly what
about,
you're mm-hmm. Wait on, Pastor.
Yes, sir. It's about what those assessments do is it identifies who am I individually and who are we collectively.
Exactly. That's the deepest thing about it. Because when you become a couple, you put away individual. Individuality you still can keep, but you got to realize, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do, you do what you want to do.
Yes, in other words, before I forget, the purpose of it is that we merge without losing ourselves. That's something real important that you mentioned earlier. We merge, we become one without losing ourselves in the process. Because we're not going to agree on everything in marriage. We're just not. It's just that's not reality. How do we maintain the foundation when we disagree? Everybody can stay together when we agree.
Exactly. Exactly.
But we are called to merge, process of merging. We don't lose all of who we are in the process of merging.
Exactly. Wow. That's pretty deep right there.
You can't
lose that. And something else, Pastor, I just want to take a step back and for the watchers and listeners. When you said something about in communication, you have individuals who walkers, you have people as talkers.
Yeah.
A lot of time when you assess yourself, you'll find out which one you are. I can think
about my
parents back when I was growing up as a little lad. My mom was a talker. My dad was a walker.
Okay.
And they stayed married 55 years. I could not understand why every time mom would be yak, all over him. He just stand there and he takes it. And then when she get tired, he said, well, I'm going outside.
Yeah.
And you must be able to identify that in a relationship.
That's right.
Whether you are a walker or you a talker.
That's right.
Now, it's not going to be something that if you're with somebody, it reverse, because that you already have that already identified in you that you either a walker or you're a talker.
Yeah.
And it's a positive in the talker and it's a negative in the talker. It's a positive in the walker and it's a negative. Because some people say if you don't, you know, go stand up for yourself. Don't take that. But a lot of time when people talk so much that like the control situation, it's best to fall in the walker category. You listen to them. You be quiet. Let them say what they need to say. I always say be careful about hitting below the belt. Now, if you hit below the belt, the walker ain't going to be no walker no more. That's a guarantee. So we have
to
keep
exactly
that in
right mind
in our relationship. And those things in the couples assessment, Pastor Pratt talks about, and that's why he's going to leave some information. You can contact him, and you can set up whatever you want to, because you can use this as a counselor. Because, like I said, counseling is working so much in a different form during COVID-19. You don't have to go in the office. Well, we have this fear that a stigma that if somebody see you going into a counseling office, you got to be crazy. You can stay on your phone, or you can do it by Zoom. So you're going to have to allow me to get that information in the next 2 or 3 minutes. One other topic I just want to touch on for a couple of minutes before I allow you the last 10 minutes to share your information, and we'll be closing out because, you know, it was an hour and a half I had set up for the show. I normally do an hour, but I want to go a little longer. That's it. Intentional dating. Some people don't quite understand intentional dating, and I'd like for you to share with them exactly intentional dating so they can recognize it when they possibly see it again.
Okay. So what intentional dating is I believe that many couples date incorrectly. That is, they don't define where we're going. Dating has to be done intentionally. If you know you are a person, this is something else, as I said, that I cover in the personal assessment. What type of relationship are you looking for? When I get two single people, what type of relationship are you looking for? One person will say, well, I'm looking, you know, hopefully I want to develop a friendship and hopefully it leads to this. I back them up. I said, no, I need you to tell me specifically what kind of relationship are you looking for? See, you've got to know where you're going. Once you've identified what your goal is, you've got to be laser focused on what your goal is. Because if one person wants to get married and the other person is trying to figure out if I'm ready for marriage, you're already headed for a disaster.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So intentional dating is about being on the same page out the gate. And not trying to change the person or wishing that they will come around to what you want to do. So you present something or present yourself in such a way that, wow, hopefully they will. And this is not what they're saying, but this is what they're actually saying in their heads is I'm hoping that they will come around to doing what I want to do.
Yes.
Intentional dating is about connecting with someone that is, this is why I bring the two-seater back into the in the coaching session. Where are we going? There's only one steering wheel in that car. Where are we going? If we're not even thinking about going, if one person is trying to find themselves and the other person is going towards marriage, that's conflict right there.
Yes, sir.
Because one person knows where they're going, the other person is not sure where they're going, and they want to try the vehicle out. They want to take a test drive before they say, well, you know what, I think I want to buy the car.
Yeah, there you go.
It is wasting time, emotions, and heaven forbid if you are, and this is the reality that we have to consider that we probably don't have time to talk about. What if one of you has kids, or both of you have kids,
mm-hmm.
and now you're talking about you don't have any direction where you're going, but these kids are attached to where you're going.
Yes, sir.
And so I think it's very important to define where you're going, and that's what I mean by intentional dating.
That's awesome, Pastor. I tell you, and he has shared some awesome information. I want to invite him to come back again. If he can make a schedule available, because this is just exciting to me. So I definitely want you all to hear more from him. But before we close this out, I want him to take an opportunity and share some projects as well as events. Take about 2 or 3 minutes, Pastor, because I want to kind of at the end wrap it up, identify how our listeners and watchers is on Facebook. I always try to give them an opportunity to kind of give them a shout out, because they like to hear the name Paul and keep them coming back. But if you would,
absolutely,
just kind of share some events or any projects you're doing, because I know you said earlier about your writing, and you might be writing several books and several things you're doing.
Yeah, so I'm in the process of writing a couple of books right now that should be the book on healthy relationships should be ready and published and everything by the first part of September, maybe even late August, but for sure in September. And so we'll have that. We were scheduled to do some marriage conferences and relationship conferences, but with COVID, that's been postponed. And so once the virus has settled, then I'll be in touch with you when we're going to put those back in place. So I have in those, we'll be doing some conferences where we'll be traveling around the country and doing relationship conferences, talks like we're doing right now. And as well, I am available for counseling. I mean, we're coaching and strategizing with couples, doing assessments and that type of thing. And I can go over prices and everything like that. So I can give my email address if someone's interested in that. They can email me. We can make contact and then go from there.
Awesome, awesome. Let's get your email address and a telephone contact number so they can call you, then we're going to make sure it's okay. We post it on my many social media pages so people can make contact in regards to you.
Okay. So my email address is P as in Paul, R-A-T-T dot Eddie, E-D-D-I-E, the number 9 at gmail.com, pratt.eddie9 at gmail.com.
Okay. All right. And you have an office number or a number you like for them if they
yes.
want to call?
If they want to call, the phone number is 214-609-5807.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And we really had an outstanding opportunity tonight to get some wisdom. And I appreciate Pastor Eddie Pratt coming on and sharing it. And we do invite him to come back again. Now, we have this show every 2 weeks. So if you schedule available 2 weeks from now, I'll just pencil you in to come in. And it won't be just like a special guest. You'll be part of the, we'll just talk. We'll talk some relationship in 2 weeks, and your expertise and my expertise, a little bit I have, I just thank the Lord to be blessed enough to have opportunity to bring this project before everybody, and we can get together and we'll talk more outside of this show. Again, thank you so much, Pastor Pratt, for being a part of this. It's been awesome. He's a relationship coach and strategist. He do other things, but he will help you build a healthy relationship. Thank you, Pastor Pratt.
Thank you so much. And I'm just, again, I'm so humbled that I was able to be a part of your show. And again, I look forward to us speaking again.
That's for sure. Thank you so much. I want to give a shout out before we go to those individuals who've been joining us. We have Terrence Babyhead Gibson out of Miami Gardens. I know him because when I lived in South Florida, he was the president of the chapter of Phi Beta Sigma down there, Rho Sigma. And he's also our Southern Regional Director of Big and Better Business. Yvette Smith, which is my biological sister, thank you so much. Tasima Jackson, thank you. Latay Pickett. Latay was one of our first guests on our Monday night show 3 years ago. We also have Beverly Barnes Rudolph. Thank you so much. Commissioner Patty Rose is joining us over in West Alabama. She's from out of West Alabama over there, I believe, Hale County. We also have Faye Treadwell Smith. We have Denise Stephanie from Behind the Mass Ministry. Thank you so much, Denise. We want to get her on the show as well. We have Queen Minister Lewis, who is our host of our Thursday night show at 8 o'clock, which is the Minister Shannon show. We have Odessa Blessing, my fraternity brother, which is Kevin Dunning. Thank you for joining us so much, as well as call out that person. Several people on both of them. We're going back and forth. Just trying to make sure I get everybody. And wow, thank you. A lot of thoughts here. Thank you. Karen Sally Rogers, thank you from McKenzie. We have John Duval Smith. John, we played together in high school football back in the day. Also worked together at Alabama State University at this time. Nicole Davidson, one of my students from McKenzie. She's in the military. Thank you for your service. Nicole, stationed over in Georgia. Let me see if anybody else. That's the list of all the individuals. Thank you again so much. We're down to about a minute. It's been an awesome show now. Make sure you check out the Facebook page. We're going to have the information for Pastor Eddie Pratt. He's a relationship coach and strategy. His email is pratt.eddie9@gmail.com. And his telephone number is 214, area code 609-5807. We're in trying 90 seconds now. And I want everybody to keep in mind, tell somebody you love them. Give your family member a hug, because that's what it's all about. And what we need to make sure is we put our masks on, follow the safety protocol as it's been given to you. Truly, the hashtag for this show is One Life Matter. I want us to keep it at One Life Matter. Second hashtag responsible. You got to be responsible now. Social distance, responsible dealing with COVID-19 with the mask, washing your hands, and staying at home. Third one is communicate for understanding. The fourth one is keep on grinding. That's what life is all about. My dad always told me, keep on grinding. We're down about 40 seconds. And as we close out, Pastor Pratt, again, thank you so much. And I always like to tell everybody, you may not hear from someone, or you might not hear it at all, but I'm going to tell you, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome rest of the night. Check us out tomorrow as we come forth with you with a sports show, Talking Sports Plus. Have a good night. Good night, everybody.
God bless you. Good bless. God bless you. Good night.
Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life, back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? How could you see?
appreciate it.
Come lift the rain.
It's amazing how
your patience with me, God will let believe.
You don't give up on me.
Don't ever leave.
Help me.
Help me to leave like you.
Like you.
No matter what I go through.
Hey.
Everything's working for my good for a way.
Let me tell you what he does.
He saved the day.
And he will.
He will come through.
Hallelujah. Church change. Come on. Jesus loving you. It sounds crazy, don't it? Hey. Let me tell you what it means. Father,
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
I really mean it this time.
I don't wanna love nobody but you.
Jesus.
I don't wanna love nobody but you. I don't wanna love nobody, love nobody but you.
Let me tell you what it does.
He saved the day.
Come on.
He will come through.
He will let you down, buddy.
Nobody but you.
Yes.
I don't wanna love nobody, love nobody but you.